Tell me about the hysteria that broke out in Baltimore.
Well, that one was much more recent. That happened in 1951, and it involved a tall, thin figure in black who appeared one day in a neighborhood called O'Donnell Heights, which at the time was a working-class neighborhood in Baltimore. It had been put up to house workers at the shipyards and the steelworks during the Second World War, temporary housing that's still standing there, and people still live in it. But anyway, in the summer of 1951, it was a very hot summer, and this figure began to appear. He was seen running down the street and jumping on the roofs of people's houses. They said they could hear him running across the roof at night. When he was chased, he would leap, he'd make impossible leaps over walls. He could jump off and on to the roofs of these houses. And the people just went crazy. They would stay up all night watching for him. The police were constantly being called to investigate sightings. He was seen very often. He would vanish into one of the cemeteries that surround O'Donnell Heights, particularly one called St. Stanislaus. And one woman who lived near St. Stanislaus said that she could hear him playing the organ in the chapel at night.
It sounds like Spring-Heeled Jack, doesn't it?
Well, you see, that's where this thing gets interesting, because eventually he vanished. The story goes that a group chased him into the cemetery. He leaped into a crypt and was never seen again. But you see, now, that's the point you bring up, George, the thing that I find so interesting. Take Spring-Heeled Jack. Spring-Heeled Jack appeared for over 100 years in Victorian England. He was tall, he was thin, he wore this cloak.
Yeah.
He was a more devilish figure because he also was supposed to breathe fire and attack people who were out at night. He had a big silver helmet on his head, and he looked like the devil. Now, Spring-Heeled Jack stopped appearing sometime around World War I. What most people don't know, though, is that something very, very much like Spring-Heeled Jack began to appear in Provincetown, Massachusetts, in the 1930s. And he was also tall, thin, made impossible, incredible leaps. And he also was supposed to have silver-tipped, pointed ears. He appeared for a few years and then vanished. Then we get the Phantom of O'Donnell Heights in 1951 in Baltimore. And again, in Mineral Point, Wisconsin in 1981, a police officer was out on patrol and he saw this extremely tall man who he said it was probably about 6 foot six, wearing a long black cape and leaping over tombstones in the local cemetery. Now, that was the only sighting of what became known as the Mineral Point Vampire. But as recently as 2005, something called El Loco Tejado, the rooftop madman, appeared in Santa Fe, Argentina, and it was almost a carbon copy.
Strange.
It was almost exactly the same thing that happened in O'Donnell Heights. The people would stay up all night. They armed themselves. They could hear him running across the roofs at night. Now, I am not saying that this is paranormal. I don't know that. But I do think it's strange that of all the possible forms that mass hysteria can take, why does it keep showing up as a tall, thin man in black who makes superhuman leaps across rooftops, over walls, and through hedges, over hedges rather. I mean, it is just very odd to me that should keep taking that same shape. Now, I suppose it's possible that the people in Provincetown knew about Spring-Heeled Jack, and the people in Baltimore might have heard about what happened in Provincetown, and so on and so on. But then suddenly, we find ourselves in a small city in Argentina where the same thing happens?
Yeah.
Now, again, I just can't help but think that something odd is going on.
Well, this being called Spring-Heeled Jack, is it conceivable, regardless of where it comes from, is it conceivable that it has gone through these evolutions of time and it's the same thing?
Well, I suppose some people might argue that. I mean, it certainly looks the same. It's gotten a little less ferocious over time, but keep in mind that the newspapers of the period were not above adding a few little details to make things more interesting. I mean, I haven't heard, no one said that he breathes fire anymore.
Didn't he have, like, Freddy Krueger fingers and things like that?
Well, the original Spring-Heeled Jack had enormous clawed hands. And he tore at the dresses of some women who were out late at night. So in fact, one of the things he was supposed to do is he menaced people who were out late at night. And again, these early newspapers were not above padding out a story to make it more interesting.
Right. Well, now, did Springheel Jack kill people?
He was accused of one murder of a teenage girl, but it was almost certainly a hoax. Someone's really looked into that, and that story was a hoax.
So he was more of a mischief maker.
All of them are mischief makers. You see, that's one of the strange things about these stories is almost no one ever gets hurt. I mean, they have these encounters with these bizarre,
right, and they get scared to
creatures.
Death, sure.
They might get scared to death, but never hurt. I mean, I've got stories about men that were about a group of miners that were surrounded by a bunch of Sasquatch back in the 1920s that were apparently trying to kill them. They rolled boulders on the roof and they pounded on the doors. And now I would imagine a few giant hairy ape creatures, if they got a hold of you, could do some damage, but they did not get so much as a scratch, nothing. And the same holds true of most of these other stories that I've found.
That's an incredible story. What do you think it is?
What do I think? I don't know. All of my instincts are skeptical. My instincts say, well, maybe there's some trick of light when you're out at night that makes it look like somebody's jumping off roofs, but I can't believe that. That's just too silly. I would like to be skeptical about it, but I can't help but wonder if something a little peculiar is responsible for these things, something that's outside our normal way of thinking.